Can y'all hear me? Oh, good. I'm going to pray and get us started. And as y'all know, we're going to have lots of table time and lots of catch-up time at the end. So y'all will be able to keep connecting. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for this morning, and I thank you for these ladies. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. God, we come to your word today, and would you teach us, would you guide us, would you instruct us? God, your word is a balm, and your word is truth, and your word is a comfort, and your word is a guide, and you are in control. And we think about Paul and his experience in Philippians in the midst of prison. I can't believe he calls us over and over to rejoice, and he can rejoice because of who you are. And thank you for this morning. In your name, amen. I wasn't going to bring this up because I knew I'd start crying, but now I'm already crying. So I had an accident on the way with my daughter in the car and airbags deployed and all that. So, but I was going to go home maybe with her, but she's like, I want to go to school. And so I'm like, okay, well, so if I just limp along, Kelly is going to be my plan B, and she's going to jump up here and she's going to keep going. And so we'll just see. We'll see how far we get. But I was like, I have so much prepared and I'm so excited. Hi.
I'm praying for you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay. We're going to pray again.
Aww.
God, we are so grateful that Jamie is here right now. And yeah, she's a little frazzled and that's okay. But she's here. She's alive. She's not hurt. Her daughter is not hurt. Her car is a mess. And there's a whole trail of insurance madness that's coming. And so we pray that you would give her patience as she makes those phone calls and that she would just rejoice that she is here. And we are grateful. And we just pray that you would give her strength and that your words would speak through her today. And her heart really is for us to study your word and to hear from you. And we're grateful for that and just ask for blessing for her this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to get out of Kleenex, believe it or not. Okay. All right. All right. And there's freedom in this room. It's funny. I saw Carol Pope earlier and I'm like, I'm debating. Do I just go home? And she's like, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. Everybody in that room will understand. And I think, you know, y'all get it. Y'all have, you might not have had that, but y'all have had something similar. You get it. And it's why we need the Lord. Anyway, so God's in control of all things and I don't know his timing and I don't understand it, but there's times it's like, I'm grateful we're okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with review, and we know D groups were not here last week, and Sam, you'll see some handouts on your table. So I'm going to guide you through the handouts. There's one handout I'm going to say, do not touch it. Do not get it until the appropriate time. But if you're, last week, those of you who were here last week, you should still have this. She spoke on literary devices and figurative language, so y'all have that one. D groups, y'all will have that sheet as well. But I created a like cheat sheet for the D groups with highlights, all right? And so y'all have that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the people who were in the Bible study who were here last week, y'all are going to do a thing called teach back. So get your notes out from last week. What you're going to do, whoever's birthday is closest to today, so y'all go ahead and I'm going to give you a second to determine that. Whose birthday is closest to today with Bible study tables? If you're a March. All right, we might even have a birthday today. All right. So once you've determined who's going first, I want you to just to walk through the sheet and teach each other. Remind each other what you learned, maybe if it was a verse. So you're just going to teach back the material to each other. It's just a way to review. It's an open book review, and you're just going to kind of remind each other what you learned last week. If you're with discipleship groups, I'm just going to give you time to read the sheet. So if you're with discipleship groups, I will not make you teach it back. I'm going to give you all time just to read through. I added the different, I added some highlighted and some verses. So we're going to do that. Does that make sense to everybody? If you weren't here last week and you're at a Bible study table and you want one of the highlighted sheets, you could raise your hand and we'll give you one of those. I just kind of added in some of the verses we talked about. So hopefully that gave you just a little review. We're in the third week of analysis. And don't be overwhelmed when you look at the sheet for the notes today. So this is Philippians week 7. This is the one we're going to be on now. I am talking about Greek verb forms and parsing and tools. If that is not your thing, you can just zone out and go, nope, I'm just going to read the word and meditate on it. And that is great. So I don't want anybody to go, that was overwhelming. But I'm a geek, and there's some of you out there who are geeks like me and who get really excited about tools. And so I'm going to show y'all, I mentioned the Step Bible before. I'm going to show you another free online resource. So Cindy, if you could put my computer up, and it's called Blue Letter Bible. BlueLetterBible.org. Actually, real quick while she's putting that up, I have giveaways today. Did we have an actual birthday today? I was going to do something else. So one of the resources we're going to talk about is Living by the Book. It's an oldie, but a goodie by Howard Hendricks. And so since it's your birthday today, you can have the first giveaway. What you always wanted on your birthday, Living by the Book. All right, so BlueLetterBible.org is where you go, and it's really simple. On the very top, you just put in what verse you want, and you put in what translation. So I already searched for Philippians 3, and I put ESV, and it has several different translations. Y'all know translations are basically, the Bible is written in original languages, Hebrew, Greek, and there's some Aramaic, and people basically translate those languages into today's language, and there's different versions. ESV is a pretty true to NIV. I like the 1984 edition, but NIV kind of is more common language. NASB is like word for word, and ESV is kind of a blend of the two. So we're looking at ESV, and basically I typed in Philippians 3, and you can see here are the verses. And there's a little thing to the side called tools. And so I'm going to click on tools, and that's strange. It kind of moved over on the screen. I don't know why. It doesn't like me. There we go. We'll move it. Okay. So basically I clicked on tools, and as you go, see this little top? We're going to go across. We're going to get into this a little. So the interlinear is basically the Greek of the verb. And so it's going to have the different words. I think I'm going to go through the others. I'll just show you these Bibles, all the different translations. I don't like that it keeps turning over. So these are all the different translations. So you could read it in different versions, and that might help you with this text. Cross-references, y'all talked about that with Sam last week. Those are different places each word is mentioned. And someone spent time studying that and said, I think this verse really helps you understand this verse. And so cross-references are across the top. Commentaries, which we talked about, you wait to the end. I have commentaries on your table. You are not allowed to touch those until I tell you it's time. Because you want to study the word fresh and make observations and analysis. And then you go to commentaries. And then there's dictionaries. And dictionaries are kind of helping you understand what does that word really mean. And so we're going to go back to interlinear. And I'm going to go down to, and we're going to do a word study in a minute on rejoice. But I just kind of wanted to show you this resource. All right, so now you can go back to the other slides. And so basically, I'm going to talk about tools today. And so some of you are like, but we're going to get in the word too. So I'm going to talk about tools. I'm going to get in the word. And I'm going to name something. This Bible study I chose, Sam and I chose to equip you with tools while we studied Philippians. If we do this again, I'm going to study a book of the Bible and really go into it and minor in the tools. This time we've majored in the tools just to say, I want you to know how to spend time with the Lord. And we haven't spent as much time teaching the text. Does that make sense? If we do it again, which may be 2 years because next year is a retreat year, we will major on whatever the text is we're studying and just really teach out of that and then minor in the tools. So I'm naming, I know we haven't probably taught as much from Philippians. I'm praying that as you spend time in the word on your own with the Holy Spirit, God is teaching you. But I am, so today we're going to look at different tools you have available. And so why do we need interpretation? And one reason that we need interpretation is language barriers. Just like I said, back in the day, they weren't writing in English. In fact, I remember growing up, my family thought that the King James Version was like the original translation. And I'm like, no, that was made like in the 1700s. That was not the initial one. So basically we need, and that's why Bible dictionaries are helpful. Y'all have heard of the word love. there's sometimes that one Greek word is multiple words. And sometimes one word in our language, like love, has several Greek words. Do y'all know what those are? Agape love, phileo, and eros. So eros is like romantic love. Phileo is the friendship love. Agape is like that sacrificial love. So you read the word love, and you're like, which love is this talking about? And that's why looking at what is the Greek, that's why reading a Bible dictionary really helps you understand the Bible more. The second thing is cultural barriers. This is written in a culture that is different from ours thousands of years ago. If you, as you read it, when you read about women and head coverings and not permitted to speak in public, you're like, okay, am I not allowed? Do I have to wear a head covering? And some of it is you have to go back and understand the initial culture in order to be able to apply it today. And again, that's Bible handbooks and commentaries are great for that. Literary barriers are another thing, and this is what Sam has talked about last week. There's different genres in the Bible. So you have Proverbs. And when you look at a proverb, I remember, you know, you hear the verse, train a child in the way he should go. When he was old, he will not depart from it. And it's like, I was like, okay, this is truth. I'm going to cling to it. It is not, they are general truths. It's not commands. They're not promises. They're general truths. So I'm going to read it differently. I think she talked about parables last week. A parable has one main point. And so you don't go into every single little detail and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? You look at what's the main point. And often Jesus talks about the main point because of the different prophecies and there's narratives, there's the law. And so you have to interpret those. The Psalms, which we did in Sunday morning equipping, it was written for corporate worship. It was meant to sing to one another. And when you know that, it's just a little different as you interpret it. So there are literary barriers again. So another giveaway, I have this book. It is a recent, I have my version and a giveaway version, and it's called Literarily. And I'm going to put all the resources online, and it's by Christy Anyabwile. And if you want to teach women the Bible, the Gospel Coalition has this Teaching the Bible cohort. And I was a part of it. A couple of people are in it, have been part of it. It's excellent. You're having Jen Wilkin, Courtney Doctor, Christy, several others actually teach it. And then you're learning how to study a passage and practicing. And so that's something you can find online. But this is a giveaway. Who has been here less than 6 months at the church? So if you've been at the church less than 6 months. All right. Let's see. Well, I had other questions for it, and I was going to do it earlier. Who has been here less than 6 months and has been here every week? Is there anybody? And have you been here at Perimeter less than 6 months? Have you been at Perimeter less than 6 months? Yes, no. Is there anyone? You have one right here? We have two. Okay, we have two possibilities. Okay. I could give away my copy with my notes. Let me see how many notes. No, you don't want that. Okay. Sure. All right. So we'll get you, I'll give you one and then Gail will bring another one. But it's a really good book. It basically goes through how do you interpret poetry? How do you interpret Old Testament? And it's very accessible. You know, some of these books are not accessible, meaning they're written for scholars. Some of these books are... more. Anyway, it's easy to read. And then I think there's one more barrier, and it's communication. And you don't, if you have a family member or a friend, you know that communication, you have things in your head that you're trying to communicate, and it is just hard to understand. So even if you understand the Greek and all that, there's still communication barriers to really understand the intent of the message. When I was in South Africa, they spoke English, but there were some differences. And I still remember the story. We were at a summer camp and, one of the gals asked me if she could borrow an earbud. And, so I'm thinking like the earplugs, cause we were all staying in the same room. I had earplugs that wore at night because there's four of us in the same room. And, I was like, well, you can borrow it, but it's you. I've used it. Do you mind that? And she just looked inquisitively at me. And then she's like, that's okay. And then you could tell she's just thinking for a while. And then she asks again, so you use them? Like, you use them and then you reuse them? And I'm like, yes. And so anyway, by the end of it, we realized earbud in South Africa is Q-tip. And so I'm thinking she's talking about my thing I put in my ears, and we laughed for probably 30 minutes. And so just picturing she's thinking I reuse my Q-tip, and I'm offering it to her so graciously. Would you like to use my used Q-tip? Tip. There's communication differences. They're from a different language, and even if it's English, there are still going to be things that we need extra help to really understand. And that's over commentaries and Bible handbooks and all that. I would say we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes it make sense. I didn't become a Christian until 20, and I grew up going to church 3 times a week, and I heard these words over and over and over, and I heard the law, and I could tell you the stories, and I could tell you the application, and I could tell you all about David and Goliath, and I won scripture memory. We went and got Baskin Robbins, if you memorize scripture, but because the Holy Spirit was not in my heart, it did not make sense. And so ultimately, when we come to Bible study, starting with, I think, can you raise your hand if you were the other one that had been here less than 6 months? Gail's gonna bring that. The Holy Spirit, and that's why when you're studying the Word, just start with prayer and asking God. We don't need fancy. They haven't had all these fancy tools for decades, for hundreds of years, and yet God still spoke to them. And so at one level, I want to hand you all these tools, but at one level, you don't need it. You just need the Holy Spirit and the Bible, and God can teach you. All right? So that's my, I'm going to give you all these tools, but in the end, God really can illuminate your heart, and that's why the importance of prayer. All right, so Blue Letter Bible, I think I showed you all of those things. I'm going to go back to me. And in there, it has, so Philippians 3:1, basically it shows the Greek, and you have the word, and you scroll down to rejoice. And we're going to do a word study on the word rejoice. And I'm going to show you some different tools just that are available to you. And so I'm going to, this is G5463, basically is the Strong's commentary, has kind of attributed a number to the Greek word of all the different Greek words. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but this is the verb parsing. And that is kind of, you learn about the tense, if it's active or passive, it's an indicative, which we talked about the first week, or an imperative. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. So I'm going to click on that Strong's number, and I'm going to make this a little bigger. And all the stuff that's on this screen, I put on your sheet. All right. And so you're going to basically see this parts of speech. You're going to see dictionary aids, like Vines is a great dictionary, and you could click on that and you could get more details. It's going to show you that this word was mentioned 74 times in the Bible. So she go, okay, rejoice is mentioned 74 times. It's going to give you outline of biblical usage, some different definitions. It's going to give you a Strong's definition on the Greek word. It's going to give other places used. And then it's going to give you every time that particular Greek word was used in Scripture, all right? And so you're going to have these different things on your sheet. I'm not going to go into the verb parsing very much other than to say, because I'm going to teach it later, it's present, active, imperative, which basically if something's present, the action is continuing. So this verse is, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. So this word rejoice is an active word, which means it's not just I rejoiced or rejoiced this moment, but it's a continuous. So it's action that's continuing. Active, the subject does the action, so the brothers. An imperative, it's command. So he's commanding them, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. All right, so you really don't have to look through all these tools. I'm just showing you the different tools that are available for free. It also has, if you go on the back, it'll show you the Strong's definition, the cross references, and then I want you to get to the search for Kairos. So if everybody goes to the second page, we're going to do something together. All right, you can take that off the screen. So what I'm going to have you do, and this is on your own at first, is you're going to do a word study on the word rejoice. Now, I did not think you had time for all 74 times the word rejoice was written in the New Testament. So what I did, and you can do this sometimes. Sometimes it's like, okay, when did Paul use the word rejoice in Philippians? What I chose to do was every time Paul wrote the word rejoice. And so this list, and it'll be in the front and back, is every time that Paul wrote the word rejoice. So I'm going to give you time. There's questions there. What do you learn about reasons to rejoice? What are we supposed to rejoice in from reading these? And so I gave you space to the side just to write. Rejoice in hope. So we're to rejoice in hope. That you could just write out reasons to rejoice. I think I had, I'm trying to think if I had an example. So basically you would just, anybody have a verse that's not in here that has rejoice in it? Say that again. Okay, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So what's the reason in that verse for rejoicing? Because this is the day the Lord has made. All right? So that would be what you would write to the side. Or you could just underline it. So why do we rejoice? Because this is the day the Lord has made. Does that make sense? You're just writing to the side reasons to rejoice of what you learn about rejoicing. And I'm going to give you a little time with that. And then I'm going to give you a little time to think about how that helps you understand the word. Then you can kind of make observations. What did I learn about rejoicing? Like, what are the themes that I saw about rejoicing? What were some insights as you were looking through rejoice? So also hit, how could Paul be rejoicing in prison despite circumstances? All right, I might bring us back together. Did anybody have new insight about the word rejoice? I'll let y'all wrap up that thought. Did anybody have new insight about rejoice? Yes. Oh, everybody, hold on a second. Someone's sharing. Yes. Oh. Yeah. Hmm. That's good. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. She's just saying the good things. If I'm restating it, those hard things often cause us to cling to God. Is that what you're saying with rejoicing? That's good. Anybody else have new insight? Yes, Kathy. Yes.
To rejoice is to make a choice, to decide to rejoice because of your faith, because you know that he is still in control. Therefore, right now, whatever it is just stinks, but I can rejoice because I know that he has not turned his back on me.
That's good. So could y'all hear Kathy? Sometimes it's a choice. It's not an immediate action, but knowing God is good and he's in control, I choose to rejoice. One more person. Yeah.
It also reminds me of we haven't gotten four yet, but where he says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right. You know, that whole verse 8 and 4. If we don't focus on the negative, but always focus on all of that,
Yeah. Focusing on truth instead of falsehood. So even one of the tools y'all have, and I kind of had you do it on your own, but on the bottom of the front page, it is, I think it's the Vines, and it gives examples of why people rejoice, and it just comes up with this list. It's basically what I was having y'all do. And so what they saw, where they saw rejoice, and it's the one that just has rejoice and then this big list under it. It said to rejoice in the Lord, his incarnation, his power, his presence with the Father, his presence within. These are reasons to rejoice. His ultimate triumph, hearing the gospel, their salvation, receiving the Lord, their enrollment in heaven, their liberty in Christ, their hope, their prospect of reward, the obedience and godly conduct of fellow believers, which over and over we saw that in Philippians. Did he not rejoice that they're walking in the faith, that they're loving Jesus, that they're being steadfast? The proclamation of Christ, the gospel harvest, suffering with Christ, which is an interesting one. He rejoiced in suffering in the cause of the gospel. He rejoices in persecutions, trials, and afflictions. Rejoices in the manifestation of grace, meeting with fellow believers, receiving tokens of love and fellowship, the rejoicing of others, and learning of the well-being of others. And so that's just a list of basically going through all the times we see rejoicing. What are the reasons to rejoice? And how many of those were about the Lord, about the gift to the Lord, or about the community? How much Paul actually loved others and rejoiced to see their well-being, to see their gift, that they're walking in the faith. And so that's a tool. That's a tool. I have loved that tool. Before we had this technology, I had this huge concordance, and you would have to write out each verse. And we're trying to do love throughout Scripture is like pages and pages and pages. But you come away and you're like, if you're steeping in the Word, and what does God say about love? You can't walk away not changed. And so this is a tool for word studies where you really want to be like, I really want to know about this word. God is working this in my heart. You can just take it and you can look, where do I see that in Scripture? And now it's so much easier because they kind of do the work for you. And then you just get time to read about it. So that's the word rejoice. And we are going to move on. And I'm going to go through a little bit of the Philippians 3, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time focusing on Philippians 3, 7, and 8. So I'm going to teach just a little bit out of, so we just did Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. And then he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And of course, I thought about doing a word study on dogs, and I'm like, that is not as fun as doing a word study on rejoice. So I spared you guys. But he says, look out. When things are repeated, that's a big deal, right? He kept saying, look out for. So dogs were despised because they would eat anything, including dead animals, human corpses, and their own vomit. So enemies of Israel were insulted by being compared to and called dogs. And he says, look out for the evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh. And basically, he's talking about the circumcision. I was reading, mutilation is a sarcastic twist on the significance of circumcision. That's the sign of the Jewish covenant. And it has no more value than mutilation if it replaces faith in Christ as the basis of people belonging to God. So these people are trying to just get them circumcised because it's about the act and the work versus the heart change. And he's like, watch out for them. Watch out for these false prophets, these people who are leading you astray. And he says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes through his lists. And the first three are his family origins. My husband grew up Jewish. And it is a big deal. Your lineage and the fact you were born Jewish is a big deal. And so he starts with, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, if a Gentile came to faith, they probably weren't circumcised on the eighth day. This is tangent and probably of no value. But my husband, you know, grew up Jewish. It is a big deal. In the hospital, they asked if he was going to be circumcised. And the mom said yes. Miscommunication, because they were going to do it at the house with the, what's the person with the Jewish, the rabbi, where they do a whole thing and it's a big party. Well, they took him and got him circumcised in the hospital. And it was like this big, whatever. So he was not circumcised on the eighth day. He cannot claim this. He was probably on day two. So they still had the rabbi come and they still did the party and they pretended that he was having circumcision during that time. All right. So anyway, he is boasting that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. So big deal. He's born into the people of God, not a transplant, of the tribe of Benjamin. It's this favored tribe, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He stayed true to the Hebrew culture and language. As to the law, a Pharisee. And y'all know the Pharisees weren't just keepers of the law, but they added all this stuff to the law to make sure we do it all right. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, so he's zealous in faith. And as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So he spent his whole life trying to be blameless under the law. I know when I didn't become a Christian until I was 20. And I was very moral and I believed I had to be good. And I spent 20 years trying to be good enough and it's exhausting. You know, I can't imagine Paul has spent all this time being good and being zealous. And so then he transitions and, you know, even what is our list? What do we put confidence in? What do we think? Oh, I've gained because I went to this school or I've had the quiet time this many times or I'm going to church. You know, what is our gain list? But he basically says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Okay, so what I'm going to have you do is just look at Philippians 3, 7, and 8. So that is on, we're going to go into some more tools in a minute, but on the top, you're going to have Philippians 3, 7, and 8. And I want you to spend a little time with the tools we've already introduced, not the commentaries yet. So if you see anybody trying to grab the commentaries, not time. So just spend time, whether it's diagramming, whatever your favorite tools were, if it was looking up words, if it's highlighting. So just spend a little time with the tools we've learned so far, defining words, cross-referencing, asking questions, diagramming. And I'm going to give you a little time in the text to interpret this. And then we're going to go a little deeper. Make sense? So Philippians 3, 7, and 8. All right, we're going to keep diving into this text and go deeper. Hopefully y'all, did y'all have a little time to at least to start studying it? Y'all probably study it this week, right? Hopefully y'all are studying along. All right, so I'm going to go, that was 1.0 with the verse. I'm going to go to 2.0. All right, so if verb parsing is just overwhelming, you can tune out for a second, but I'm going to go into the verb parsing because it's really fun to me. If you can just for a second, I might put up on the screen my computer just to show you how to find this. And then I'm going to go through this list. So see the word I counted, and that's part of this phrase. And I showed you earlier how you could follow the Strong's link to get the definition. Hegeomai. So this is the Greek, how it's written in the Greek. And this is like called transliteration when it's basically how we would pronounce it. And then over here is the parsing. And if you click on it, it's going to give you, it's going to write it out. It's the verb, it's the perfect tense, it's a middle or passive, indicative, first person singular. And then you can click on each one of these and it's going to have more tools. So this is a freebie. This is a handout you have on your table called Tense, Voice, and Mood of Verbs. And so basically, if you want to read more about each of these tenses, and you're like, what was active? What was passive? This is a resource y'all have to take with you. Okay, so we're going to go back. The reason I'm showing you this one is Step Bible does not have the parsing. So Step Bible, in certain of the translations, you can get to the Strong's, which is basically that G number, and you can click on that, and you can see the Step Bible is really easy because you hover, and it says this many times in the text, you know, this word is written. So Step has really, it's really easy at that level. The reason I'm introducing Blue Letter Bible is because it does the verb parsing. So I would say that was the biggest difference, and this does have commentaries. It's kind of, they're both great tools. I think Step Bible is a great one-on-one tool. If you don't want to go to verb parsing, do Step Bible. I got that from Caleb Click. He gave me Step Bible. And if you really do care about the Greek verb parsing, then I would pick this one. That's the main difference. Thank you. All right, so going back to the sheet, basically I'm going to walk through this and go back to the previous slide. Okay. And so y'all have it on your sheet, the Greek verb parsing. And I'm just going to walk through this. And each time the parsing was mentioned the first time, I'm going to talk about it. All right. So y'all have this on your sheet, Philippians 3, 7, and 8. And we're looking at verbs. So y'all know what a verb is. It's action. We're not looking at nouns. You know, you could go through and look at the nouns and the adverbs and the direct objects, but I'm just here focusing on the verbs. And you can learn a lot about the intent by looking at the verbs. So whatever gain I had, and I'm just showing on this verse that it had, you know, G1510, emi is the Greek word, and then it has V-A-I-A-I, third person, 3S. So it's going to be third person singular or first person singular, meaning I did it, another person, he did it. And then it says imperfect. And if you click on those, it'll give you all these things instead of I. Imperfect action is continuous, usually in the past. So whatever gain I had. So it's like something that started in the past, but it's continuous. Active, the subject does the action. And indicative, we talked about that, it's just a statement of fact. So whatever gain I had in the past, but it is continuing. So y'all see how you can learn a little about that verb because it started in the past, but is continuing. And he said, I counted, hegeomai. And then so perfect, and I had to look up punctiliar, but it means a moment in time. So there's a moment in a time that he counted action in the past with results that continued into the present. So that verb form basically means something happened back then at one point in time. I counted. So probably on his conversion on the Damascus Road when he became a Christian, I counted those things in a moment as loss. But that verb form means, but I continue that into the present. I still count it, which you'll see that in a minute. I counted middle. He's initiating the action and indicative. Basically, it's a statement of fact. As loss for the sake of Christ, indeed, I count. And this time it's present. So he's talking about a past thing. I counted as loss, all these things when I became a Christian or back then. But then you get into the present and he's like, today I count present continuously, middle indicative. Everything is loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss. And so this, the verb aorist is often the past. So an action that occurred in the past, but this one can be past, present, or future. So basically, for his sake, I have suffered the loss. So it's a past thing. And then it's passive. So it's not like active is if I did the action, if I threw the ball, if the ball was thrown to me and if I received the ball, that's passive. And so he's like, I have suffered the loss of all things and I count them present. So this presently right now, I'm counting them. In the middle means the subject initiates the action, so he counts them and he participates in the result of the action. See how just looking at the verb form gives you a lot more detail. So not only he counts it and he is the one counting it, but he's receiving that. Count them, indicative statement of fact, as rubbish. And if you go into rubbish, basically it's dung. It is refuse. I count those things as nothing. In order that I may gain, all right? And so we have aorist, active, subjunctive. And I thought the subjunctive is very interesting. Action which may or should happen, but which is not necessarily true at the present, from the speaker's point of view, expresses conditional or uncertain actions. So he's saying, in order that I may gain Christ. So he's like, I believe this is coming, but it's not to me yet. Like, look at that. You're learning about his state of mind because he picked this particular verb form. It's like a conditional. I don't have it yet, but I am going to gain Christ. I am counting those things as lost, past and present, that I may gain Christ. Okay, so that probably was overwhelming. But I'm just saying that as you look at each one, and so the tool I gave you, you can read about active, passive, subjunctive. This, if you click on it, it's going to write it out. It's not going to just say V-R-N-I. And it's just a tool. So what I'm going to have you do now that you've listened to that, it's a little more in depth on the verse. I'm going to have you look at commentaries. All right. And commentaries are a great resource. So I have 6 commentaries, so y'all can get those. I have 6 commentaries per table. So you can just pick 3 if you're a 3-person table. And each person, just read through a commentary. All right? So once you've studied the verse on your own, I brought some good commentaries for y'all to look at. And so just divvy them out. It doesn't really matter. But I have front and back. Some of them are front and back, and some of them are just one-sided. So if you don't want to read a lot of commentary, pick the one-sided. And I'm just going to give you time on your own to read it, and then we'll talk about what you learned. Does that make sense? Everybody sees the commentaries? So each person just read one of the commentaries, and then kind of mark what you learn, and then we're going to talk about it. That makes sense, everybody? All right, I might, even if you're not finished reading, I might just have y'all talk as a table. What were some new insights you gained either from the verb parsing or from reading what you did in the commentary? Commentaries are just for men who really understand the Greek, the Hebrew. They spend a lot of time studying it. There's just great tools to really unpack the text. So spend a little time. Were there any new insights you learned about the word from reading the commentaries or the parsing? Would anybody be willing to share a new insight that they gained, or they could share their neighbor's insight, as we know is sometimes easier to do? Would anybody have new insight you gained from the parsing or the commentaries? Yeah, yeah. I saw one of the commentaries because I read through them to pick some. But it talked about a scale. Basically, the scale in Paul's life, he viewed these things as rubbish compared to gaining Christ. So it's like, if I need to get rid of those things, I will. Those are not what my merit is based on. That's not what I'm trusting in. Did you see how many times he talked about Christ? I want to gain Christ. I want to know Christ. His focus was so much. It's all about Jesus. Anybody else have anything? Needs for sharing? Yeah, Whitney. Could y'all hear her? We probably need to send mics. But the whole idea of the rubbish smells and the fragrance of Christ, and you don't want to just sit with stinky garbage cans. I know diaper cans. You want to take it out to have the fragrance of Christ. Anything else that struck y'all or new insight in reading commentaries? Right, right. I mean, it takes the pressure off. Like it's Paul had this list. And it's tiring. Just as your mom's right, it's tiring to keep up the list. And he's like, really, it's gain to know Christ. Like it's freedom. And even losing that, sometimes you think losing that is loss. And he's like, it isn't. Losing that and not trusting in that, really, it's all about gain. I love that. And even one of the commentaries, it kind of made two columns, the old life and this verse. These things I've reckoned loss. I reckon all things lost. I've lost all things. I reckon them dung. The new life for Christ, for the value of knowing Christ, for whom, for Christ, that I may gain Christ. And it's just this freedom. Like, I love it. It is a freedom to say, the world thinks that's loss, but I don't. I think it's all gain. And there's a beauty in the freedom of not having to get it right and do all the stuff, because he did it. And the verse is about as good as for the gospel as you can get. I've lost all things and I may gain Christ and know him. The next verse is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. And I have that verse up there. If you can skip. I did my diagramming, but you don't want to see that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And I would just say one little point as I was studying that one and looking at that commentary, it basically said that those two things were linked because Paul used this one definite article. This is one statement: that knowing the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings are two inseparable aspects of knowing Christ. So sometimes I think I have to suffer to gain Christ, but what he wrote here is they're together. They're inseparable. It is impossible to know the power of his resurrection without participating in his sufferings. Suffering was a present experience of Paul. And yet in the midst of that, he's like, in that I know Christ. Y'all know when you've walked through a hard season and the intimacy that you get in knowing Christ in the midst of that hard season. He's like, these aren't two separate thoughts. I go through the suffering to get Christ. He is joining now in this saying those are together. As I suffer, I experience Jesus and know him. And I know I'm going to know him. And there is a, y'all have heard the now and not yet. There's a today I experience him. And now some of that verse, there's a, and someday I will be reigning with him and I'll see him. And so I just love this verse because it really is the gospel. It's like, we can't be good enough. We can't do it. Those things, you know, and think about, what are you trusting in? How would it take the pressure off to say those don't matter? When God sees those, they do not matter. The only thing that matters really is knowing and gaining Christ. So hopefully all these tools. I had one more giveaway real quick. Did anybody know what book of the Bible that Jeff on Sunday in his sermon said kind of throw under the bus? Did anybody know that? First to raise your hand. Yes. What was it? Yes. Okay. So Leviticus, you got it. I thought that would be a silly one. But basically, if you're like, what commentaries are good? You know, because not all commentaries are great. I will just say, and I'm going to give you these resources, but that's funny. It's called the Old Testament Commentary Survey by Tremper and Longman and New Testament Commentary Survey by D.A. Carson. And basically they go through and they read them all and they evaluate them and they say, if you're a scholar and you want to talk about the Greek, pick this one. If you want layperson and really easy to understand, pick this one. So if you ever like, I'm really studying a book of the Bible and I really want to know which commentary, these resources, they have them in the bookstore too, but that's a resource so you get it for free. I am going to, because I like to give y'all extra time at the end, I'm going to go ahead and make announcements and I'll get that to you. So go ahead to the announcements. We mentioned, but discipleship groups don't know this. We want to have lunch the last day to just celebrate and have time to reflect. And so we're going to pay half. So we're going to say $5 and it's honey baked ham. And there's a QR code there and it also be on the site. If you would like to have lunch the last week with us, then that QR code. You could log in and just pay $5, and you can say whether you want turkey or ham. And we're just going to stay and have lunch together and kind of celebrate what we've done. And that will all, link will also be on the website. And then in the next slide, we could put this up at the end. Next week is Philippians 3, 12 through 4, 1. Just continuing to use the tools we've done so far. The next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about response and application, which is the goal of Bible study is how am I applying this to my heart? I will teach next week, and Kathy Chapel will teach the next week. And I put all the optional resources I mentioned today on there, but those will be on the website as well. I accidentally answered that. Hold on. Okay, I don't know. Whoever that was, I just hung up on him. What did I say? Okay, so here's discussion questions. So D groups, feel free just to connect, however, and if you want to talk about these, but what did you learn about rejoicing? How can we rejoice even in hard circumstances, in case y'all didn't get to that question? What did God teach you today through spending time in his word? And how would God call you to respond to what you're learning, not just today, but in Philippians in general? What difference does this truth make in your life? So I'm going to pray, and y'all all have time to discuss and connect. And remember, you have till picking up kids at 11:45, and now pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word, and your word does not return void, and it achieves the purpose for which you sent it. And I thank you for Paul and how he teaches us by his example. And also he just teaches us because of his relationship with the Lord that he can rejoice in others walking in faith. God, so many times that is not something I rejoice in, and I want to, and he can rejoice in his salvation and who you are in the midst of hard circumstances. Would you help us have that kind of heart and focus on Jesus? And thank you that he can count all things as loss compared to knowing Christ. Would you reveal to us the things that we are checking boxes to gain acceptance, and let us know that that is of no value, but only trusting in you and what your son has done on our behalf. So I just pray even this week that you would take the pressure off our shoulders, and we would just be able to enjoy gaining Christ. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, so feel free, discussion, hang out, and we'll see y'all next week.